Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton.
This week, Donald and I are going to do what we did in the past once before. We're going to do our grab bag episode. And for those of you not familiar with the grab bag episode, this is basically where Donald and I just start talking. And then we just kind of see what path we take ourselves down. Last time we did this and nearly the whole episode ended up getting centered around destiny, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. And it wasn't a big hodgepodge of topics. It seemed like it was actually, we kind of landed on that soon enough and the whole episode really got focused around that. So it was kind of cool how that worked. But this week, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think we actually landed on that topic about 3 to 4 minutes into it, where we just started talking, like 10-minute mark of that episode. We're talking about destiny. Yeah, go figure.
I like to say that we were destined to talk about that topic.
Well, aren't we always destined? Oh, free will. You know, free will versus destiny. There you go.
Yeah. Did we have a topic on free will?
I think we talked about it in the destiny episode.
You can't really talk about destiny without talking about free will.
And we also talked about it in the astrology and the divination episode.
You know, Donald, here's an interesting thing. I think when you and I divide camps on our beliefs, it tends to be on to the extent of free will. It seems that when we kind of take different sides, it seems like that's the one that tends to be a little bit divisive. Divisive.
I agree because, you know, for me personally, the whole idea of I believe we have a certain level of free will, but I also believe that we work within the construct of our astrology, the construct of our life path, and I believe all these things like our astrology and life path kind of come together and, you know, say, hey, this is what you've come here to do. This is where we're helping you to go with our spirit guides and our higher self. This is the direction that they're, you know, nudging us along. And then if we attempt to go off that, we're basically, you know, out in the field doing whatever, and we can have no framework of the reality of which we're living in because we're not following what we came here to do.
We don't have any framework of the reality we're living in?
Yeah, because this is another thing that goes with this whole free will thing is, you know, I believe that how we are set up is absolutely perfect for what we came here to do. If we're going to be a trucker and truck across the country and haul products back and forth, you probably wouldn't want a bicycle. And so when we're made and given a task and, you know, we're saying this is our life path, this is the skills and abilities and natural inclinations that we have, this is to accomplish this life task. And to go outside of that, to basically try and, you know, haul products across the country with a bicycle, it's going to be significantly more difficult as opposed to staying on our path as a trucker, driving a diesel truck, hauling a couple tons of product.
And now, that makes sense to me. I mean, and I will wholeheartedly agree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. I think that's quite on par. I was reading a book on vacation, and it was called Discovering Your Soul's Purpose or something like that. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't really about discovering your soul's purpose. It was a non-fictional account of a person who had gone through and examined different people's lives and some of the struggles that they had in their lives. There was a person who was an alcoholic for many years. There was a person who was another person who had 2 autistic sons. And so there were all these challenges they were going through in their lives. And then what he did was he went to these different psychics, intuitives, and mediums, whatever you call them, that are able to contact the Akashic records or contact the souls, this particular, their soul group that they themselves originate from. And the medium pulls in information from the soul group that says, okay, this is the purpose that this person wanted to accomplish in their life path. This was designed, and there's some different ideas and like that when you die, some people believe when you die is set in stone, that you have a final death date, where really this was saying you do based on what lessons you've learned and when you've learned them. That it can be somewhat of a moving target, but basically either if it looks like you're not going to learn these lessons or if it looks like you're going to learn these lessons and how in what amount of time, you know, nothing's completely lost. It's never a wash. You don't come into this life not ever learning anything because experience is they say experience is the best teacher, and I say experience is the teacher. That's really the only teacher.
Me too, yeah.
So, and then I was reading this book going, okay, wait a minute. If our greater souls or if our soul group or whatever you want to call it has set out these events, for example, it said, you know, there are people that you make contracts with and you agree to meet in one way or another. And if you decide, free will is always at play. If you decide not to take this path, but you have an agreement with this person, you'll probably end up meeting them another way. And I thought, well, if all of this is the case, where does this leave free will?
Mm-hmm.
Are we just really kind of marionettes to the whim of our oversouls or whatever you want to call it, or higher selves?
No, not at all.
And then, yeah, and then I thought about it and also doing a little bit more reading in the book. And the idea is that, no, you never are. You really are just, you set the stage for yourself. To me, it's like if you are in a play, you could set the stage for yourself and you actually create literally a stage. And your life gets put into it, and there's a door here, there's a prop here, and you're going to interact with the scene and the set according to the door and the prop. You could also kind of wing it and, you know, punch a hole in a wall while you're on stage and say, this is my door now, or crawl in through the window when it was designed to be a window. And, you know, you're going to find your hand's going to get hurt, you're going to break your leg trying to crawl through the window. And so I would agree with you. I agree that free will is completely at play, but the more we're in line with the lessons that we've designed for ourselves by our higher selves, the more we find our sense of joy and our sense of peace. The more we exercise our free will and take us ourselves out of that, we're going to be just pulling this boulder up a giant hill.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that completely. And this is one of those things that I've spent the majority of, you know, my early to mid-20s, you know, contemplating. It's just like, okay, free will, destiny. Okay, do we have one or the other? Do we have both? Like what you just said, you know, I look at it kind of like when you come into this life, let's say you were born in New York City. Your whole goal in life is to make it to Los Angeles, California. Now, you are given, when you're born, the ability to do so in the best way to have the experiences that your soul, your higher self would like to have. But you look at it like just today in our modern world, if all of a sudden you're just like, okay, I'm in New York City, I need to go to L.A. There's trains, there's planes, there's automobiles. da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, and there's bikes, there's your feet. There's all these different ways to get from New York to L.A., and I agree to an extent with if your life is leading you further and further west from New York, even if you decide to stop in, I don't know, Kansas for 5, 10 years or whatever, you're still moving west, which is where your soul's purpose wants to go. Now, if you all of a sudden decide to jump back and go back to take a plane or a ship or something and head out to the United Kingdom or England, then you're moving backwards, you're moving away from your soul's purpose. And I think at that point things start going really south, and I believe you have plenty of time to course correct and start moving back towards your goal's destination. But at the same time, if you don't ever get that way, then you're going to have trouble. And I think that you will eventually be, you know, like, okay, this one's a wash. We'll try again later.
Now, when you say that, it's a wash and you try again later. If you don't meet the lessons, and, you know, I hear this word all the time, and it's not my favorite word, to be honest with you. I personally prefer experiences rather than lessons, because lessons imply pass-fail. And lessons, it's just the Western paradigm of lessons in school. It's a pass and a fail, and you do well or you don't do well, rather it's the experience that you want to gain for the broadening and the experience of your soul.
Mm-hmm.
I think to really understand the whole breadth of the contrast that life has to offer. So when you end up going, to use your analogy of going to the UK, mm-hmm. which is way off track, and then you end up dying in course, then what? Do you believe that the next incarnation is going to try to pick up where you left off?
No, I think that every life is in and of itself has its own set of ideas of where it wants to go, how it wants to get there, and whatnot. And so if your soul decides, okay, well, you know, this path didn't work too well. Well, these are the problems we had. Do we want to go that way, or do we want to go over here and work somewhere else? I believe that you can actually learn, your soul can have the experience. You can learn those lessons. And to me, lessons is basically information. Don't stick your finger in a light socket kind of thing. Oh, lesson, pass, fail. Fail, you're dead. Oh, gonna try again. But I believe that it resets every lifetime. If you really, really, really have to have a physical body to learn that experience, then at some point you will. But I don't believe that every possible lesson that having a human experience can teach you has to be learned in the physical body.
Okay, I go with that. Well, then let me ask this. Do you believe that... Or
yes, I do.
Believe.
I do, and yeah, I love it.
Because I know you do, so that's why I have to rephrase the question. I think I want to ask more so, there's that old joke, right? Do you remember that old joke about the guy who was trying to baptize the guy, the non-believer? And he said, do you believe? And he says, no. He dunks his head under for a count of five, brings him up. He says, do you believe? And he says, no. Dunks his head down for a count of 10. Do you believe? He says, no. So he dunks his head down for a count of 30. Finally pulls him up. He says, do you believe? Do you believe? And he says, yes, 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 I believe. And he says, hallelujah. I believe you are trying to drown me, sir. Sorry, I kind of throw that out there.
Oh, no problem. I haven't heard that one in years.
Oh, so you heard it already?
Oh,
made me go through that whole shtick.
I didn't remember it. I think the last time I heard it was when I was in high school at some point.
Oh, so now you're saying it's kind of a little bit of a sophomoric little joke, dude.
I loved it, though. It's very humorous.
It is
reminding me about that is very good. And yeah. Now, was that your free will or was that your destiny to remind me of that joke?
Yeah, I don't think that my higher self destined me to tell such a joke. It's just too corny. It's just it's not that great of a joke. I mean, I may have greater jokes in store in my life path. No, what I was going to ask you is, what is the point of these, whether you want to call them lessons or whether we want to call them experiences? What's the point? What's the purpose of them?
I think the purpose of these lessons / experiences is to basically grow. That's the only thing I can really think of.
What does that mean, though?
Instead of being a baby in the universe, you have to have certain experiences. In the human experience, you're born and you're completely dependent on, you know, your parents, community, and to maintain your life. As you progress and get older, you're able to start taking responsibility for certain parts of your life for yourself. Then you grow up and you become completely responsible for all aspects of your life. And I think these lessons and experiences allow you to grow in a similar way spiritually so that you're not stagnant in, you know, your place in the universe. Because I believe...
Do you think you can stagnate?
Oh, I think you can stagnate for eons.
But then what does that mean? I mean, you there's growth and there's stagnation, but what is, in other words, what it would be the result of growing spiritually, or what would be the stagnation of your spiritual self? I mean, how do you define it? How do you differentiate those two things?
Taking it from a spiritual aspect, you know, you become more and more spiritually evolved, you become more and more, you have more and more universal spiritual truths, you become understanding of how things work in certain ways. It's kind of like going from being a toddler where, you know, you understand, oh, you stick your finger in a light socket, it's going to hurt and it's going to be really bad. Also, you get a little older and you realize, oh, if I touch a, hot boiling water pot on the stove, that's not good. That's painful. Don't like pain. We like pleasure. Okay. And it moves you in that degree where if you do not have those lessons, that experience from when you were growing up, then it would be really in bad choice if you got a job, working at a, nuclear power plant or something like that, where it's just like, oh, hey, what's this little red button do? This is kind of fun. Why are the alarms going off? Oh, exciting, the lights are flashing. This is kind of cool. And you wouldn't have the lessons of, oh, flashing lights normally mean bad, danger, not good.
Well, I want to talk about what you keep saying with the, like you said, if you put your finger in a socket or if you touch boiling water, you say there's pain, that's bad. If you're learning something from the pain, then why is it bad?
Oh, I'm not saying it's bad. It's a lesson, but you're learning that when you touch certain things, your physical body experiences pain, and if you experience pain, you can then decide, you have learned, oh, touching hot stuff causes this kind of pain, not touching hot stuff doesn't. When you get to when you become more of an adult and more responsible for your life, there are a lot of people that enjoy having a little bit of pain, such as tattooing and piercings and stuff of that nature, where it's just like, hey, this is really kind of cool. And then, of course, there are people that take that to even more of an extreme, where you have to have the initial lesson, the initial experience first to know, okay, oh, pain. Okay, now I know what pain is. You can't automatically know what pain feels like in a physical body unless you have pain and pleasure in a physical body to begin with.
What I think about it is interesting about the whole idea of pain and pleasure and all that other stuff is that we're so oriented physically to learn these lessons. And it's interesting how we're going to get caught in the physical shell, because you and I both believe and agree that we are spiritual beings. Mm-hmm. If we're spiritual beings, how did we become so, how did we suffer this physical amnesia of our true spirituality? But to me, it's an akin to, all that is knows what all that is, and all that is in a room and says, I know every single object in this room, and I know it by heart, and I could tell you everything about it. I could tell you, this and that and that. And becoming physical is almost like we get put in a room, the lights get turned off, and we sit there for days, mm-hmm. maybe weeks, and we cannot move. And then all of a sudden, we don't get the lights turned on. We basically say, all right, move. And we have to find our way around in the dark, and we have to relearn all these things that we set the rooms up ourselves, but yet we have to relearn everything in that room, where it is, what it is, and what to do, and how to do it by feel alone. We don't get the advantage of our sight. We don't get the advantage of light. And I think that's kind of a really sloppy, slapped together analogy for what I think is kind of the physical experience.
Well, do you think that it should be more structured and more Spartan, where it's like, do this step to this step to this step to this step? Kind of like having, when you go bowling, you have those child braces where you can put up on the gutters so that the ball will not go in the gutters at all.
Right.
Are you saying that you would like to have a choice of whether you have those child protectors up on the gutters as you bowl, or so that you never have a gutter ball and never experience a pain of, oh, that one was a bad one?
Well, I've said this before about contrast. I think the gutters are there. The gutters are just, they're there. If you put the guides up, then you're bowling safely the entire time. And then what do you really get out of it? Yeah, that's great for kids to kind of, everybody gets an A kind of thing. But and not to say that I don't want to get too tangential on that. But I think that there's the idea of, the contrast between the physical and the spiritual is because I think we have a greater understanding of our spirituality when we come into life with the illusion that we are not spiritual.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
I see.
And I very deliberately use the word illusion because I believe that the physical, as real as it is, at the end of the day, I think it's really boils down to being an illusion. And you can get a lot of arguments from the apologists on that one.
Oh, see, and my whole thing just on that is I believe that we are focusing too much on being spiritual beings, and there are a lot of people that are starting to disregard the physical. There's a famous quote, and I can't remember who said it, but it's like, we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. And I love the quote. It's a good quote. But I think it takes the focus and moves it too much off balance to where the focus should be, where it's like, we are spiritual physical beings having a spiritual physical experience.
Right.
Where we have to keep the physical at the same level as a spiritual and not say, oh, we're physical beings having a spiritual experience. You know, not favor one over the other, because once we start doing that, then we start focusing on one and, you know, not focusing as much on the other, and then you become completely unbalanced. And I love your analogy where being stuck in a room and all the lights are off and you know where everything is, and then you're stuck in there for days, and then you kind of like have these invisible nudges from people that still can see, that have their night vision goggles on, as it were, and they kind of, they're like, okay, nudge over, and okay, now you have a little pin light, okay, now you can see a couple things here and there that are in the room, like, oh yeah, I remember, I can do that, I can hit a ball, you know, 300 feet, sweet. Mm-hmm. and things like that. And I think what the physical experience does, working with your analogy, is as we progress through this physical experience, we start to learn and see more and more of, you know, what we knew before we started this physical experience, just like in a larger picture of, you know, evolving and growing spiritually in the universe. This is like a baby step. Each life is like a little baby step progressing further and further on. And I don't really know what the next step or the step after that is or whatever, but I have a belief that having the physical experience and learning the lessons and experiences that we have in the physical prepares us to a large degree for getting off the karmic wheel of reincarnation and then moving on to whatever the next steps in spiritual evolution involve.
Okay. So when you say spiritual evolution, I want to make sure that one of the crazy things about the whole idea of spiritual evolution is that it almost has this implied hierarchy to it. And my fears is that people would say, if you're more evolved, and you use it in that very, you know, erudite type way, evolved. And I don't think it's that. It's just different.
Yeah, it's like if we take just the idea of as above, so below, and we look at different people in the world now, you know, you can look at the Dalai Lama, who most people consider one of the epitomes of spiritual knowledge. And then you can look over at Gene Simmons, the lead singer for the rock group Kiss. I want to make sure to say Dalai Lama should not be put on a higher pedestal than Gene Simmons. Because that goes unbalanced again, because the Dalai Lama has a lot of very valuable information. Gene Simmons has a lot of very valuable information. The way that their souls have chosen to express that are in very different, you know, avenues. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that the free will that we have will lead us to our flashlights, as it were, and then are eventually finding a light switch. It might be through Kiss, or it might be through the Dalai Lama, but I think at some point, if you're meant to get from New York to LA, like we mentioned earlier, you are going to run into people that will help you, you know, reach that way. Like, you know, for example, let's take the whole road analogy again, where we're talking about helpful people and people that you run into, the whole synchronicities, as it were, where let's say you're somewhere lost in Kansas, and I apologize to anyone who's in Kansas, but I've been through Kansas a few times, and I'm more of a East Coast, West Coast person. Anyway, let's say that you ended up somewhere in Kansas. You don't know which way is north, south, east, or west. You have no map. All you know is that there's a little diner gas station off of a dirt road, and that's all you can see, and you're able to eat and whatever. You've just been there for, like, 3 months, and you just don't know what else to do. You don't know which way to go, and you don't want to go backwards, and you don't want to go forwards. All of a sudden, this person pulls up in a car, and they sit down, and they start eating, and you start talking with them, and you basically are saying, "I'm trying to go this way and do this," and like, "Oh, well, that's no problem. You're like 200 feet away from the interstate." Like, interstate. I've learned from my experiences and lessons in the past that the interstate is a faster way to get to where you want to go when you're going cross country. Like, okay, so you go to the interstate, and then let's say you get out and all of a sudden you're heading back towards New York. Well, when you stop, there's probably somebody there going, "Dude, other way." And I think that you run into people like that all the time where, you get little nudges here and you get little nudges there to point you back to where your life's purpose and your life's goal want to be. And I think with free will, you don't always have to follow those like we're talking about, but they still go that way.
You don't always have to follow them, but they still go that way.
Yeah.
You mean you still go that way if you don't follow them?
No,
you,
the path is still there, even if you don't follow it. So the path is always there if and when you want to take it, even if you choose not to take it.
Okay. And what if you don't choose to take it your entire life? What if you go from the beginning of your life to the end of your life and you don't take that path that was carved out for you by your higher self?
I think you're going to live a very unhappy life because the nudges...
Well, you know what you're implying there?
Mm.
You're implying that the life path that we choose for ourselves is designed to help us find happiness.
I believe that.
Okay.
And I believe
why do you think so? Here's the thing about it. There are a lot of, for example, there in the book I was reading, there was a man who, due to the circumstances in his life, it kind of created a ripe breeding ground for him to be indulged in a level of alcoholism until he was in his 50s, where he finally became clean and sober. Here's the interesting thing. His higher self didn't say, yes, he was going to be an alcoholic. His higher self basically was having him kind of remove himself from his family due to the choices that he made. And the higher self had fostered this scene, this setting, this environment to be ripe for that was going to create a high potential. And they said, the question was asked, what if he didn't become an alcoholic? He probably would have become a workaholic. I don't like putting the word aholic on the end of things because he's addicted to workahol. You know what I'm saying.
I like that workahol.
Yeah. It's like, chocahol. I can't stop eating chocahol. I'm a chocaholic. So the idea there is that if his lesson there was to learn this kind of separation from family, that his actions were going to sever his relationship and kind of create this level of loneliness and isolation for him, it didn't matter how he did it. Those were just basically the tools to do that. If that's what he was set up by his higher self, how does that lead him to joy?
Did he end up happy in the end?
I more than happiness, I say there's peace.
Okay. Well, maybe his whole goal, his whole path for this experience, for this incarnation, was to find peace, because maybe in previous lives he had never really known peace. Mm-hmm. We don't know. I mean, your goal, your life path's goal, and I believe there's more than one, mm-hmm. can be anything. It can be learning to allow others to take care of you by becoming, terminally ill, or taking care of somebody who's terminally ill because you haven't learned that whole compassion lesson, or becoming a millionaire because you haven't experienced, extreme financial material wealth in the past. And I think that this is where the free will comes in, is because I believe most people have a number of life paths that their spirit, their soul, wants to learn in this reincarnation. And the free will is comes in where you're actually able to choose which path you want to go down, which path you want to follow.
You can get from one city to another by five different roads.
Exactly, yeah.
And I don't think, like, for example, you use the idea of you can become a millionaire to learn about financial excess. And I don't think necessarily it's about financial excess. I think it's about whatever lesson emotionally is wrapped up in that. And I think that if you, your free will, I think what will happen is you will find events come up that will help you to learn that one way or another. You may have another way of learning that, not necessarily by being a millionaire. The millionaire gives you the great opportunity to do so, but I think there's other ways of being able to learn just that. So I don't think in life's destiny it's like, oh yeah, he's going to be a millionaire. It's more like, I think what happens is like, this is the lesson I want to learn as far as just how to find peace and joy in my life. And I almost have to remove myself from it to get myself closer to it.
Alan, see, I think this is one of the fine aspects of free will where you and I disagree a little bit, because as I said a few minutes ago, from my perspective, your life path or life paths can be anything. And to me, that means anything. And one life path might literally be having an excess of material wealth compared to your fellow man, regardless of the emotional or mental state of that, where one of your paths for this life or in this incarnation is to be materially wealthy. It's just the way it is, because there are certain things that you need to learn in that environment that you can learn other places, but not to the same degree.
Now, here's the interesting thing about that. Yes, I agree with you to the degree that you could be born into a wealthy family. That's not choice. If you're born into a wealthy family, that would be considered more of a choice on a more higher self level or a soul group level. We are going to choose for our soul to be born into an environment where there's already a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to create that because we want the lesson out of the gate. However, at some point when you become more of a discerning adult, you can actually abandon that whole lifestyle. You can say, you know what, I'm going to do a Michael Rockefeller thing and I'm going to walk into the woods and disappear forever.
You could totally do that. You know, that's totally a choice. And maybe with free will, and this is something I believe, that with free will in conjunction with your life path or your life paths, there are certain timings throughout your life at different ages where you have opportunities that present themselves, or people that present themselves that offer you a choice to go somewhere different or to stay where you are. Mm-hmm. This is where choice and free will comes in, is because let's say you were born into a wealthy family, you grew up in a wealthy family, you went to the best schools and da 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 and all this other stuff, and then let's say for whatever reason you met this person that when you're about 29 years old, you had this little conversation with them for about 45 minutes, and they had a life that was much different from yours. I'm not saying a poor life or, you know, anything like this, but it sparked a level of interest, a level of excitement, a level of inspiration of like, wow, what would that be like to live a life in under those circumstances and in that way as this person has. That would be a point in this person's life where they have a choice of, do we want to try that out? We've experienced the whole material wealth thing. We have that lesson down. We have that experience down. Do we want to continue on this and move into other areas with our life experience? Or is this something that is so exciting and so compelling to us that we actually want to try it? Do we want to become explorers in a way and try something that we've never experienced before? And you know, the human, you know, human species, we like to do things that have never been done before, and then we like to do things that have been done over and over again before. Mm-hmm.
You see, our radar for finding what our quote-unquote life purpose or lessons or the experience we've set out for ourselves, you can see that. I mean, you can see it by what you're finding yourself just naturally driven toward. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean by an obsession, because this is the thing. And we talked about this in another episode, and I don't remember which one, where we were talking about obsession versus passion.
Oh, yeah.
I do believe that when something crosses the line from passion to obsession, that there's a breakdown. Then you start breaking down. Because, like you said, there are multiple lessons that we want to learn in our lives. And if you are so passionately delving into one specific thing, then that doesn't give you room to learn the other lessons that have set up for yourself. They say variety is the spice of life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do believe that the opportunity to encounter the events in our lives that are going to bring us growth are broader when we leave ourselves more open. And the more obsessed we become with a thing, the less open I think we become. I mean, what will happen is the life lesson will come at you like the, you know, like something like a backlash, mm-hmm. like a recoil, rather than something that kind of inspires you.
We were talking about this before the recording, where, you know, where you and Jackie had gone for vacation. You know, you mentioned that there's this general rule where it's just like, you know, the world's too big to do the same thing twice. But then we were talking about how this place was so beautiful and so awesome that, yeah, you all could see going back there again. And I look at following your life path along the same lines, where it's just like, you come in to this life, you get your physical body, you do a couple of things, you learn a couple of lessons, you have a few experiences. There are those that you're just like, yeah, I really want to do these, have more of these types of experiences, and I don't necessarily want to have more of these types of experiences. And that is kind of like you following your life path more and more succinctly, because if you have more experiences and lessons and follow a line that does bring you more excitement, more passion in life, then I think that you have no ability other than to experience more happiness and more joy. I'm going to stay on the whole idea of vacations, where let's say in a 15-year span, you go on 5 different vacations. Every 3 years, you go on this huge vacation somewhere. Let's go on the whole idea of, you know, let's never go to the same place twice. Well, statistically, from my understanding, is there are going to be certain times and certain places where that vacation is just going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no, it's just going to happen sooner or later. And at that point, this is where your perspective and your beliefs and everything comes in. It's like, do you look at that whole sucky vacation as like, oh man, that means maybe in the next one, if the next one's good, then we haven't had a good vacation in 6 years, and we just spent all this money on this one that we've saved up for 3 years, and don't ever want to do that again, or don't ever want to go there again, da-da-da-da-da. You know, or there's...
Well, here, okay. I want to outline that right there. There's a few things, points I want to make on that.
Okay, go ahead.
The first one is that it's okay, I think, to return to the same place mm-hmm. twice. I mean, I understand the idea that the world is too big to go to the same place twice. But sometimes what can make a vacation or a repeated event that you so enjoyed disappointing is by going and expecting the exact same vacation a second time. The expectation's the trouble here. And I think sometimes obsession is created by trying to recapture an event that has come and gone, rather than allowing a new event to unfold in a new way. It's like the same thing that the heroin addicts will say, that the whole addiction for the heroin addicts is them trying to recapture the very first time they got high.
Mm-hmm.
They want so much to, and they never can. They say, you never can. You can never get that feeling that you got the very first time you got high. But that seems to be always one of the components of the pursuit of the continuation of getting high, you know, aside from the physical addiction and all that other stuff that goes with it, that's another component, and that's an obsessive behavior. to expect life to kind of have a cookie cutter stamp formula that you go back and you're expecting, you know, things to unfold twice. The second part of this is expecting that everything is going to be awesome every single time, no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
I've done so many things in my life the right way that life is going to be perfect from here on out. I will never have another sad moment. I'll never have another bad moment. I'll never, ever, ever be depressed or disappointed ever again. Well, you know what? That's a guaranteed recipe for disappointment right there.
Oh, yeah. Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda. And I think sometimes it's the life lessons that we encounter is because there are times in our lives that we're ready to shed our skin and move on. It's kind of like I was talking to Jackie about the death card. We're talking about
in the tarot.
Yeah. And a lot of people like the death card. It means change. It means change. You know, it doesn't mean somebody's going to die. It means change. And I prefer to think of it more as the death card means a change that you can't avoid anymore. Because, you know, things can change and you can say, I'm going to put this off for a while. But the death card is basically saying it's going to change and there's nothing you can do about it because it has to. It's run its course. It's done. And if you're not ready to change with it, that's just too bad.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of life goes that same way. We have loved ones in our lives. There's nobody that lives any long amount of time without losing loved ones. The people you love will die. So to say that, you know, I'm going to go through the rest of my life and everything's going to be hunky-dory fairies and peachy dancies, that's just not the way it works. Because going back to the whole idea of the alcoholic guy and the suffering and all this other stuff is that I think when you have those kind of life lessons where you have these obstacles thrown after you time and time and time and time again. I'm not a Bible guy, but one of my favorite books of the Bible is Job. Because it's amazing because he just gets the crap beat out of him, basically.
Yeah.
You know, if it can go wrong, it does for him. And you know what he's saying? You know what? He's like, these things are bad. Not anything I would have wanted to happen, but you know what? Life is still a great and precious and beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing about it is the life lessons that we get through. It's basically so that we can see, in spite of everything else, like the story of the Knicks are still playing. It's that same idea. Do you remember that story I told you?
You'll have to refresh my memory.
Forgive anyone who's heard this before and yawn, you heard it again. A friend of mine, she was riding the subway or the train, I think it was. And she was this is in New York. And she's talking to this guy and they're talking about all this is actually before 9/11. They're talking about all the troubles in the world. Yeah, we got war in the Middle East and we got this going on. The government's corrupted. And the two of them are just having this discussion about how all these terrible things that are going on in the world.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the conversation, the guy says, and the Knicks are still playing. And I love that. To me, it's like New York philosophy at its best. I love New York philosophy because it's not heady and out there. It's just like it's very matter of fact. And I love it because it's easy to digest. I love the illustration of that. It's like, you know, imagine if you were in a terrible situation where a natural disaster happened and things were caving around and you've lost your house, all these terrible things that happened and you've gone without water for 5 days. When you take a sip of water, you've experienced heaven after that fifth day.
Oh, yeah.
It is the most beautiful, tasty bit of water you've had. And I think that's kind of what these life lessons are designed to do a lot of the times. I think they're designed to remind us how sweet the water is.
I agree completely with that because when you were talking, I was thinking about if you do get to a point where you learn your lessons and have your experiences to a degree where you don't stick your hand in a light socket anymore in a broader sense of life where, okay, maybe I won't drink 15 beers every night, you know, mm-hmm. just for an example, then the issues that you had with drinking 15 beers a night will fade away. And there will be new issues to worry about and to take care of so that there's always going to be something that you have the opportunity of to choose your perspective, whether it's good or whether it's bad, and how you're going to look at it. Like you were talking about with Job. You know, he had enormous opportunity to be like, all right, fine. I'm throwing in the towel. I give up. I am now seeing the cup as half empty. I'm becoming a pessimist for the rest of my life. Or you know, do what he did, and, you know, choose to maintain the perspective that he's always had. Mm-hmm. I don't remember you telling me that Nick's story.
Oh, you don't?
No,
okay.
I don't. But
I love that.
It reminds me of something a friend introduced me to. I think it's a book, but I don't know if this is a title or a phrase in there. And it goes something like enlightenment and then the laundry. And it's kind of like along the same lines as...
That's a book? That's the title of a book?
Either that or that's a quote in the book that my friend was referring to. I don't know. I don't remember, and it was years ago. But I remember that phrase because a lot of people, and I fell into this too for a long time, it's like, oh, I must reach enlightenment. Enlightenment is cool. Once I reach enlightenment, everything will be wonderful. And then it's like, and then the laundry. Oh, yeah. We still have a physical body. You can reach enlightenment multiple times. You can have multiple enlightenment.
Enlightenment, to me, all it is it's just the polar opposite of suffering. And a lot, there's schools of thought that put this nobility in this idea of suffering, which I cannot even subscribe to. Right. I just can't do that. My idea is that once you realize the beauty in life, despite all these things you're going through, they're like, okay, you've learned that lesson. Let's bring on the next one. Mm-hmm. And you're going to end up going through this again. There's going to be a part where you're going to say, it sucks. And then eventually, hopefully, you'll say, you know what? Maybe this isn't so bad. And the funny thing is I always laugh about the – have we talked about the pessimists versus the realists or the optimists versus the realists? Did we have this conversation?
I think we might have, but I think it was in one of our early episodes.
It might have been. I don't remember which one. I was tag surfing. What I do is I put in these keywords for tags. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it just pulls up all these blogs that people have used in the keywords. And lately, and of course, psychic is one of the ones I use. And lately what's been happening is because of the whole events in Texas with the psychic that predicted the bodies. Do you know about that?
No, what was this?
There was, I'm not a news guy, so I don't remember all the details, but there, a psychic, an alleged psychic phoned in the police department in Texas and said, there's a bunch of bodies buried in this, on this property. So they brought out the squads and all this other stuff, and they went and looked around, and there was a lot of blood from a resident there that attempted suicide, and they found nothing but a bunch of metal parts or whatever.
Hmm.
All of the James Randi folk and the pessimists came out of the woodwork. People that, you know, probably have their blogs of their own, but they stood there clucking their tongues and folding their arms and saying, see, look at this. That just proves that the psychics are a bunch of, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I saw one post from a guy who he sits there and he says, he stands up very brazenly, declares, says, I am back. Apparently he's some naysayer guy. And he says, I am back. Look at the stuff in Waco and the psychics. It just shows you can't believe any of those guys. Da, 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 da. Well, the reason I haven't been on a while is because, you know, I just got this new job. I hate this job. I hate the hours. I hate my boss, but I'm stuck here forever, it looks like, unless maybe I find another one. And by the way, things are still the same. I drink too much and my life is miserable. I'm like, wow, that pessimism is really working out for you, isn't it? So... I you know, and that's his life path. That's what he's going to do with. But I think to me the whole idea behind that story was to say that you can have this perspective on how terrible things are in life, but your life will reflect that. The way you see the world is the way you see your life, and the way you see your life is going to be the way you see your world. I've never known anyone that really inspired me and put me in a good mood around that complained about everything around them. So I think that I agree with you that a lot of our life path and our life lesson is to learn joy and learn peace. I think sometimes we've got to have it kind of pulled away from us to really show, because it's like that thing you take for granted, you have enough. Here in, you know this, Donald, because you lived here for a long time, but here, for those of you who have never been to the Puget Sound area, which is Pacific Northwest Washington State, the Western Washington, we have Mount Rainier, which is what a guy who was not from here had described as a non sequitur of a mountain. You have the ranges, and all of a sudden this thing, this mountain just explodes out of the middle of nowhere. And it's bigger than anything around you. I think people in Japan could probably appreciate that with Mount Fuji or stuff. Right. But we on summer days, you just the mountain, you just notice it, you know what I mean? But of course, in our perpetual cloudy winter, when the mountain comes out, we're like, oh my God, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I've never seen the mountain look more beautiful. And we say that every summer.
Every single year. Yeah.
For some reason, the next summer, it looks more beautiful than it did the last summer when we said that's never looked more beautiful. And I think, but you know, if we saw it every single day, of course, we here in the Pacific Northwest would be, yeah, that's Mount Rainier, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that life is designed to do that. Let's find out how sweet this is and let's see what the contrast is really like, and then you really will appreciate that sip of water.
Yeah, and I, going back to your whole analogy earlier of being in the dark room and, you know, fumbling around at the beginning, from my part of you actually find a flashlight that's really a little pin light, very little light, but it shows you a little bit, and you're like, oh, I can see more. This is so useful. I can actually... Right. I can actually see like 2 feet in front of me. This is so cool. And then all of a sudden the batteries die. Oh no. What do you do? This, you've never experienced a flashlight with the batteries dying in the past. You don't even realize that they have batteries. All you know is you found this thing. It made you able to see a couple feet in front of you. Then all of a sudden, in one way or another, you find out, maybe from somebody, maybe from life, batteries. I need to have batteries to make the light go. So from that point on, you have the lesson, you have the understanding of, if I want to see, you know, 2 feet in front of me with this pin light, I need to make sure that when it dies, it has batteries, and I'm going to think ahead and have a couple extra batteries on hand in case I'm in the middle of something. I don't want to be doing open heart surgery, being a surgeon, and all of a sudden not have any light and I'll forget all my medical knowledge and ability.
I think we could take it a step further. I think there's the gratitude for not just the life is still good, but the gratitude for the lessons that come in the hardships. For example, you're in the light, you've got the room, you set everything up, everything, the lights go out, right? Mm-hmm. You have to feel your way around in the dark, and you finally feel way around in the dark, and you finally are able to find out where you keep the key to unlock the drawer that has all the delicious candy bars in it, right?
And this is after you've learned what a key does and what a candy bar tastes like.
Well, yeah, exactly. but then what happens is your flashlight goes out. You find your flashlight and you're like, wow, life is better again, and all of a sudden your flashlight goes out. How many people would say they're dang battery? I think you could grow more by saying, you know what, if those lights hadn't gone out the first time, I would not know how to find my way around in the dark this time.
Exactly.
And I think that's the appreciation of the hardships.
Exactly. Instead of, you know, constantly saying, you know, well, I did buy this flashlight at this store and they're just out for my money and I'm never buying anything there for my blah, 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 blah. And like, hey, I can go get another cheap flashlight and actually see again. I agree completely with what you're saying. You know, it's the choice of and this is where the free will comes in, of what perspective will make you the happiest? What perspective will give you the most joy? From me and a lot of people that I've talked to and read about and heard, and of course it's all over stories and media throughout history, typically what makes people the most happiest is having support from other people is one thing. And feeling like they have some way of contributing to their little part of the world or the humanity as a whole or something, where they have the choice to focus on the gratitude, the positivity of, I'm able to do this, I'm able to present this to the world and it's helpful and everything, and I in return, I'm able to receive this from other people. And to me, focusing on the joy is much more pleasing overall than focusing on the negativity.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
And that is where our free will comes in, with how where we want to focus.
I like it. I like it. I like where we took this episode. It was pretty good, you know. It was a great twist on the idea of fate and free will. It kind of piggybacked on the Destiny one in a way, funny enough.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it was a topic that's been kind of floating out there. So it was fun to actually dig it up.
And I don't think we've had that on the list anywhere ever.
No, we haven't.
Not by itself.
It's kind of, it's peaked its head into various episodes, yeah. But I think it really kind of fully came to surface today, and it was pretty fun.
You know, maybe we should have more grab bag episodes.
I think so. I think we'll go back to the grab bag idea. It's a lot of fun.
I agree completely. David and I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of our listeners. We love recording these episodes and putting them out there for you live. And we hope that you enjoy listening to them, and they're informative and a little bit of a mind stretching every so often. And we hope that that is entertaining for you. So for TakeTheRedPillPodcast.com, I am Donald Dalton, wishing you an amazing ability to choose.
And I'm David Deere. Choose freely, choose wisely, but choose joyfully.